High winds may have downed an Alaska sightseeing flight. Australia grounds older Cessna Conquests for now. And the Moscow Air Show takes another baby step. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 28, 2007. The National Transportation Safety Board has released a preliminary report stating strong winds may have contributed to an Alaska Air Tour accident that claimed the lives of five people August 16th. The board says initial assessment of the wreckage of the de Havilland DHC-2 Beaver floatplane did not reveal any pre-accident mechanical anomalies. According to the NTSB report, a surviving passenger says the airplane started its takeoff run directly into strong winds, made a steep turn to the left, abruptly descended, and hit a tall stand of trees along the shoreline of the bay. Pilots flying in the area at the time of the accident reported strong southeasterly winds ranging between 30 and 40 knots, with significant downdraft activity. The Oregonian reports the NTSB hopes to get a clearer idea of the seating configuration in the aircraft at the time of the accident, but the tour guide's account differs from that of surviving passenger Mindy Mayer. The agency hopes to interview the pilot and tour guide soon. Both of them remain in the hospital. Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority announced on Monday that operators of Cessna 441 Conquest turboprops have been directed to ground their aircraft after reaching 22,500 hours on the airframes. Cessna announced on Friday it cannot assure the continued safety of the aircraft after that limit is reached. The potential defect is reportedly in the rear pressure dome and could lead to in-flight structural failure near the empennage. Australian Conquests with less than 22,500 flying hours may continue to operate normally. Cessna imposed the life limit after reviewing its structural maintenance program. A program is in place to manage the safety of the aircraft up to the limit, and CASA says ways to safely extend the safe operation of the Conquest beyond the current life limit are being explored. It's not Paris or Farnborough, but it's a start. The Moscow Air Show, which wrapped up on Sunday, reportedly netted $3 billion in new contracts for Russian manufacturers. Event organizers say that's up from $1 billion taken in during the 2005 show. By comparison, during this year's exhibition in Le Bourget, Airbus alone took in $88 billion in new business. The Moscow show was notable for a Boeing order from Alat Soyuz, which is controlled by the Moscow city government. As ANN reported, the charter carrier signed for four 737-700s. Analysts say the order underscores the need for Russia's homegrown airliners to advance to Western safety, noise, and emission standards. Curiously, one of Russia's brightest new prospects, the Sukhoi Superjet 100 regional aircraft, received little attention and no orders during the show. On the other hand, despite last week's grounding of all Sukhoi 24 bombers, following a crash in the Far East officials believe was caused by technical issues, the Moscow show reportedly brought in about $400 million in military-related business. Russia's state-owned arms trader reports that almost 800 companies from about 100 countries participated in the show. Delegations from China, the Mideast, Latin America made up the largest foreign presence. Moscow newspapers, though, reported poor event organization, leading to inadequate sanitary facilities and several traffic jams. The combination of fewer tourists, less business and convention traffic, and a smaller home population continues to spell trouble for Louis Armstrong International Airport in New Orleans. Today is the second anniversary of Hurricane Katrina's arrival. USA Today reports departures in July were 24% lower than those in July 2005. That was the last full month before the August 29th storm battered the city. Southwest Airlines, the airport's largest carrier, is only flying about half the flights to and from New Orleans that it did back in 2005. The airport's deputy director, Maggie Woodruff, says the airport projects service to return to about 90% of pre-Katrina levels by the end of 2008. To attract new business, the airport is offering to waive landing fees for up to 12 months for flights to new cities and cut its per-passenger charge for airlines hitting the airport's growth targets. Airlines have reduced the number of seats available at Louis Armstrong International by about 32% from 2 years ago. That's about in line with drops in the city's tourist and resident populations. Even businesses which would have preferred to support the city's recovery have been thwarted. Microsoft and the National Business Aviation Association have had to move a total of five events between them planned for New Orleans elsewhere due to lack of enough scheduled flights or lack of adequate facilities. Louis Armstrong International has enlisted the help of aviation consultant Michael Boyd, who says the airport is doing everything it can to build service. Up next on ANN, the private space race moves on from the scaled composites tragedy. Columbia Aircraft recalls furloughed workers. And Boeing marks a big occasion at Everett. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 28, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. As investigators continue working on the report on a fatal nitrous oxide explosion at Scaled Composites July 26th, the intervening month has already provided some perspective on the incident's effect on the fledgling private sector space race. The two companies which partnered to build Spaceship Two, Sir Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic and Burt Rutan's Scaled Composites, both reacted quickly to the accident, which claimed the lives of three workers at Scaled and severely injured three others. Branson adopted a low, respectful profile for the Virgin Galactic site, reserving comment until after an investigation, and has posted no additional news since. The normally reserved and technically focused website of Rutan's company posted tributes to the lost men and served as a focal point for both the condolences and donations pouring in from all over the world. The Associated Press has called Glenn May, Eric Blackwell, and Todd Ivins the first fatalities of the new space race, but also notes that the industry and customers appear ready to press forward. AP reports that after the accident had Scaled, Virgin Galactic contacted all the customers with $200,000 deposits for suborbital flights. Not only have none requested a refund, but four new ones have signed up. With Garmin once again shipping its G1000 avionics suite, Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing announced on Monday that it has recalled over half the nearly 300 workers furloughed earlier this month. The plane maker tells ANN it will continue to recall employees as the production line advances at its plant in Bend, Oregon. As if to celebrate the resumption of production, on Monday, Columbia certified its 100th aircraft of 2007. CEO Juan Majid called it a gratifying moment. Quote, "Despite the turmoil of certification delays, acts of nature, and supply chain disruption, Columbia continues to achieve significant milestones. Granted, we'd like to be doing so without as many external challenges, but our team continues to rise to the occasion time and again." Unquote. The Boeing company Monday reported a bigger milestone, the delivery of the 3,000th wide-body airplane built at its plant in Everett, Washington. The airplane was a 777-200 extended-range model that was delivered to Korean Air. The factory is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. Ross R. Bogue is vice president and general manager for 747, 767, 777 programs and the Everett site. Quote, "This milestone is a tribute to the hard work and dedication of our Boeing employees, suppliers, and the community. Our focus on the customer enables us to produce airplanes that provide the highest levels of safety, quality, reliability, and value." Unquote. Adding up the history of all those planes produces mind-boggling numbers. Combined, the 747, 767, and 777 have completed more than 34.5 million flights through June of 2007. They've logged about 148 million flight hours, a total of nearly 17,000 years. The airplanes have flown about 71 billion nautical miles. That's the equivalent of flying around the world 3.3 million times. Boeing says more than 80% of the airplanes ever built at the Everett site are still in service around the world. It's described by the Experimental Aircraft Association as a collaborative effort reflecting the true spirit of EAA. Next month, New York State chapter members will share their plans built full-scale replica of the 1903 Wright Flyer with visitors to the Gateway National Recreation Area's Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn. The aircraft project will be formally dedicated at a public ceremony on September 8th at the historic facility, which was New York City's first municipal airport. The replica was assembled there by chapters 594 and 528 earlier this month. Northrop Grumman created and donated full-size plans derived from scale model specifications from the Smithsonian. Volunteer master wood craftsman Fred Mankin cut and color-coded all the wood, which was privately donated, and dozens of volunteers from all over New York State, including at least five EAA chapters, built sub-assemblies. Chapter 594 built a special hangar at Pedaros Airport on Long Island, where the various parts all came together. Project participants are listed on a special commemorative bronze plaque on permanent display with the airplane. The dedication ceremony will occur during the second annual Floyd Bennett Field fly-in, scheduled to feature about 40 military and vintage aircraft, including a British Airways Concorde supersonic jet. Still ahead, en route charts for the Caribbean will go out of publication in October. India's government wants non-colonial tail numbers, and the Vatican launches its own airline. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 28, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, or NGA, announced back in 2004 that it was going to stop publishing aeronautical charts for areas including the Caribbean and Hawaiian Islands in October of 2007. Now, we're a little over a month away from that date, and the FAA hasn't announced how it will pick up the slack when those charts go out of publication. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association says the FAA has legal responsibility because both island chains fall within the U.S. Flight Information Region. AOPA convinced the Department of Defense, which oversees the NGA, to take public comments on the issue. AOPA says several hundred pilots responded and were successful in getting the government to implement a phased approach for the discontinuance of en route charts, supplemental flight information, and instrument approach procedures. Melissa Ruttinger, AOPA Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, says the association recently sent a letter to the FAA. Quote, "The FAA must take action to provide equivalent products. Otherwise, there will be no publicly available government source of aeronautical information for Hawaii, the Caribbean, and Central and South America," unquote. The Indian government just celebrated 60 years of independence from Britain last week and has renewed a request to change the international registration code displayed on the tails of Indian aircraft. The request was made of the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, in an attempt to get rid of the legacy of colonial rule, according to the UK Times. Indian tail numbers carry the letters VT for Viceroy's Territory. India's previous Hindu Nationalist Party wanted to change the identifying letters to BM for Bharat Mata, meaning Mother India, or BH for Bharat, but China had already been assigned the B series. That government then suggested IU for Indian Union, or IR for Indian Republic, but Italy has the full I series. Other former British colonies still use the original V code today, including Australia with VH, the Falkland Islands with VPF, and Antigua and Bermuda both using V2. While others change theirs, like Kenya, 5Y, and Fiji, with DQ, Britain uses the G-series. The Vatican on Monday launched the world's first airline for Catholic pilgrims. Complete with Vatican logos on headrests and air hostesses' uniforms and religious-themed in-flight movies, the inaugural flight traveled from Rome's Fiumicino Airport to the Shrine of Lourdes in France, according to CNN. The official slogan translates to, "I'm searching for your face, Lord." The Vatican aims to serve 150,000 pilgrims a year on a chartered Boeing 737 run by Italy's Mistral Air and hopes to keep costs for pilgrims low. Destinations range from the Shrine of Fatima in Portugal to Mount Sinai in Egypt, where Moses is said to have received the Ten Commandments from God. Low-cost carrier Ryanair will be a competitor on one route between Rome and Santiago de Compostela in Spain. Ryanair risked alienating pilgrims with a startlingly irreverent response to the startup of the new Vatican airline. Quote, "Ryanair already performs miracles that even the Pope's boss can't rival by delivering pilgrims to Santiago de Compostela for the heavenly price of 10 euros, unquote. And finally, maybe they should call this the Seinfeld anomaly. A University of Minnesota astronomer says he's found the largest expanse of nothing in the known universe. Professor Lawrence Rudnick announced his discovery last week. The newly discovered hole in the universe is 1,000 times larger than any previously discovered, according to the Star Tribune, and it's located 6 to 10 billion light-years away. Rudnick says the 6 billion trillion-mile-wide hole shows no sign of any stars, galaxies, or light. And that's right up Rudnick's alley. In his freshman seminar entitled Nothing at UMN, the professor encourages students to consider the artistic, scientific, and physiological merits of nothingness. Nothing, he says profoundly, is everywhere. I have a couple of questions. If nothing is everywhere, why can't I find a parking space at the mall in December? And more importantly, does this mean I'll be able to fly around user fees? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Bob Lieberman, president of Intelligent Optical Systems. He'll explain his company's LED incapacitator, a new weapon which uses light to subdue an attacker. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.